Our classes, they'll be online for anybody that'd like to listen to them, so be on your best behavior. Act like we know what we're doing here. But anyway, that's for the benefit of our website. When we stopped, we were right in the middle of a study of the Ten Commandments, and we had completed number 7, and we're going to pick up where we left off with number 8 today. And one of the reasons why is because I feel it's important for us to understand the Ten Commandments and what they teach, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a minute. Before we get started, though, let's review our prayer list. We have names that need to be mentioned this morning or things we need to be praying about that we're not aware of. I was made aware this morning that Jan Drummond, who was this middle school secretary that had the brain infection, she did pass away. And so she passed away. Excuse me? That was Jan Drummond. She used to be the middle school secretary, and a lot of people knew her. But she passed away. So let's keep that family in our prayers. And, of course, Joyce Riley, now that's your daughter-in-law's mother. Okay. Did you need a report on her?
They brought her home from the hospital on Wednesday.
Okay.
She did not do any kind of surgery to repair
okay.
the
Okay.
6 months, they treated her for pneumonia and
okay.
a blood clot in her lungs, and she is feeling better.
All right.
And so they're going to just wait.
Well, good, good. Those aneurysms are a serious thing, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Those things can cause death real quick, so that's good. We need to remember that. Okay, anyone else, anything else? Because now there's a list that's in there, that's always in there, of people that have been homebound or have been in nursing homes or whatever for quite a while, and if we read it every time, it'd be a repetition and it'd take a lot of time. But always check that list and remember them. If you're like me, I always have to be reminded, people that are in need of our prayers. So keep those in our prayers also. Anything else that we need to be mindful of? All right, if you would, please, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful to you again for the opportunity to be able to be here this morning and once again to be able to study with one another from your holy word. And we ask your blessings upon us this morning as we open up your word and study from it. We just pray that the things that we learn today and the things that we discuss will be in according with your will and be beneficial to each and every one of us. And we just ask that you would send your spirit to lead us in our study this morning. Father, for this family of Jan who has passed away, we pray a special blessing on them. You know, it's a difficult thing to lose a loved one. But just comfort them and help them to know that you are still God and you still are in charge of this world. Thank you so much for all the spiritual blessings that you give to us, especially the blessing of Jesus Christ. And so, as always, we want to pray this prayer in his name. Amen. Okay, let's do just a little bit briefer review here. Why is it important for us to study the Ten Commandments? I mean, that's Old Testament stuff, isn't it? You know, we don't live under the old law anymore, do we? Okay. Do we live by the Ten Commandments today? Are we bound by the Ten Commandments? Okay. It's not because of where they appear in the Scripture. It's because they are a continual command. See, some things that God has written for us are eternal. Okay. They don't have anything to do with the Testaments. You know, like the animal sacrifices and the burning of incense, those were for a specific period of time. But the Ten Commandments, all those things are eternal, okay? Now, the first thing people are going to throw up their hand and say, what about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Okay? Good point. What about the Sabbath day?
The principle is there.
The principle is still there. The day was changed, okay, but the principle is still there. Okay, so those things that we read about in the Ten Commandments, those are things that do change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You ever heard that said before? Okay, and so those principles do not change. So we need to keep that in mind. That's why it's important for us to understand those Ten Commandments. Okay, now, if we go back and we can remember some of the things we talked about, what do the first four commandments have to do with? Anybody remember? Our relationship with God. Okay? We get our priorities right before we deal with one another. We deal with our relationship with God. And let's see if I can remember those things. Those were honor God, the Father, keep sanctified. Okay? There was the idea of don't make any graven images. What's a graven image? That's idol worship. That's where you take something physical, a stone or some metal or a piece of wood, and you carve your idea of what God might be like, and you set that up so you'll have some physical thing to look at and say, that's my God. Okay, don't do that. You know, scriptures teach us that God has nothing to do with material things, okay? He is a spirit. And he said, those that worship him have to worship him in spirit and truth. So we need to get an understanding of who God is, and you can't do that by graven images, okay? Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, okay? How can we do that? What does that mean, don't take it in vain? Well, we automatically think of curse words, okay? Don't use God's name when you curse. But it's more than that, isn't it? Okay? Don't take God's name flippantly. You know what I mean by that? A lot of time we use His name, and you'll say, we'll say, by God, you know, and then we'll say something, you know. Well, that's taking His name in vain. A lot of times we'll swear an oath, you know, and we will swear it in God's name. Let me tell you, if you swear an oath by God's name, you better keep that oath. You better keep that vow, because God's going to hold you to it. And we do that a lot, you know, such as in a wedding vow. What do we do when we have a wedding vow? We say, we're standing here before God and these witnesses so that these people can pledge themselves to one another. And what do they say? I pledged, I'm doing this in the name of God, to love, honor, and respect and keep till death do I part. Okay, you think God takes that seriously? You better believe He does. Okay, all those vows. Okay, so don't use God's name in vain. Okay, and then the fourth one would be, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All right, 7 days a week, 6 days of creation, 1 day for rest and for worship. All right, now let me mention once again this idea of worship. Does God need our worship? Yeah, do you think some holy being that is far superior to us needs our worship from a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner? You think He needs that? No, He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. But He desires it. Okay, He desires it. And it's not for His benefit, it's for our benefit. Okay? He planned it where we could come here. What do when we come here? Well, we sing and we praise God and all those things. Oh, what are we doing in all those things? We're encouraging and admonishing one another. Okay, God has never created man to be a isolated individual. He's created man to be a social individual. Okay, we need one another. Okay, we let another down a lot of times, but we still need one another. And so that's why we come here. He knows that we need one another. And we can gain friendship. We can gain encouragement. All of these things we get from one another. So when we come here, our reason for being here is to worship God, okay? But the reason we do that is to encourage one another and admonish one another. Okay, so that's our relationship with God. The last six of the commandments have to do with our relationship with one another, okay? Let's say we talk about shalt not covet. Thou shalt not. We talk about steal today. You shalt not commit adultery. Honor your father and your mother. Those types of things. That's our relationship with one another. So we started with the priorities. Get your relationship right with God, and then we deal with the other six commandments, which are get your relationship with your fellow man in order. Okay. Now there is one primary rule that these last six commandments would go by, and that is to honor your fellow man, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, okay? And these last six tell us how to accomplish that idea of loving one another, okay? And so that's what we want to deal with when we talk about those, okay? So the fundamental principle of the basic ethics of Scripture is Matthew 22:29, love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's what these commandments are given to us for, to teach us how to love one another. Okay. Got my handwriting here, it's all scribbled up. I can't hardly read it. Let's talk a little bit about the eighth commandment then, which is thou shalt steal. This is Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. All these commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not steal. Okay. What does that say to you? When you read that commandment, what does it say to you? I can tell you what it says to me. It probably says the same thing to you. Don't take nothing that doesn't belong to you. Okay? It doesn't belong to you, leave it alone. You ever taught that when you were a kid? That's not yours. Leave it alone. You know, don't touch something that doesn't belong to you. Okay? That's the idea that we think about when we think about stealing. But actually, this idea goes a lot further than that. And so I'd like for us to deal with these this morning, talk a little bit about this idea. We need to understand, as far as creation is concerned, that in every society and in this world, there is what we call inequality. Okay, we're dealing with that right now, aren't we? We want everybody to be equal. That's what the society is trying to push us towards. And I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. It will never happen. Okay, because God just has not created us that way. Okay, now we might say, well, then God's not he's not a fair God. But that's not true. Okay, it's just the way it is. We will never be equal in all aspects. If we were all equal, we all did the same things and said the same things, and you know all that, you know, we'd be in worse shape now than we ever were. There are some people that have money. There are some people that don't. There are some people that have education. There are some people that don't. There are some that are born white, black, brown, yellow, whatever. We're all types. We have different genders. Okay, and that's just the way it is. Okay. Well, and yeah. Well, and saying that, I'm not going to say that prejudice does not exist. Prejudice exists when one, you know, resents the other. Okay. Yeah, and that's what I got to tell you all this. I saw something the other day. It was a something I got that I had to fill out, and it came down to name, address, and then it had down there gender. It had male, female, and other. And I went, huh? I said, what? What other? You see what we've come to? You know, we have people that feel that, you know, you've got a choice. Okay? It just doesn't happen that way. Okay? So inequality then is existent in this world today. We realize when God created or gave us the church that there is inequality in the church. Now, what do I mean by that? He gave some to be pastors, preachers, teachers, okay? He gives different gifts to everyone. Everybody has a gift, okay? Everybody has a gift. Normally, though, we have what we call the speaking gifts, okay? And those are the ones that, you know, they're down here at the front, and they're the ones that they're talking. And all of us that have the serving and the ministry gifts, we kind of say, well, I wish I had that. I wish I had the ability to do that. Remember in Corinth when some had the gift of speaking in tongues and others got jealous of them? They wanted that gift. That's because that was of something that people saw. Okay, so we begin to feel, since I don't have that, you know, I'm being discriminated against and I want that. And that's where the problem comes in. But the scriptures say that each one is giving a gift according to his what? What does it say? Ability. According to his ability. God's given you the gift that he wants you to have because that's what you're qualified to do. That's what you're good at, or that's what motivates you, okay? So there is no such thing as equality when it comes, as far as God is concerned. You understand what I'm saying? As far as salvation is concerned, yes, absolutely, that is there, okay? Now, we get into a problem when we talk about this idea of the eighth commandment, and that is that over in Acts chapter 4, I believe it's chapter 4, yeah, 4, starting about verse 32, we begin, and it actually starts back in chapter 2, where it talks about how the church had all things in common. And we have people in the world today that will say, well, the church should be more of a communistic type of society. Okay, we need to have all things in common and everybody needs to be equal. Well, that's not what was going on back there. Okay, when they were there in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, we had all these people there from all over the world. What did they do? How did they cope with that? These people were away from home. Okay, they'd been there for several weeks, what I can comprehend, maybe even months. Okay, what happens when you go away from home for an extended period of time? Start running out of money. You know, you got to sleep, you got to eat. Okay, And so the people didn't want to go home. They were caught up in this frenzy, and they wanted to be there where the gospel was being spread. And so the church, you know, took it upon themselves, some members of the church took it upon themselves, to actually sell some of the things that they had and give it to the church so that they could distribute it to those that had need. Okay? That's what was going on. Now, what's the difference between that and a communistic society? What is communism? Yeah. Yeah, you didn't have any choice. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah, nothing.
They
what?
They control the means of
production. Right. In other words, everything is governed by the government. Okay. You don't possess anything. You might have it, but it doesn't belong to you. Okay. What did we have as far as the New Testament was concerned? Take the example of Ananias and Sapphira. Okay. What did they do? You remember? Yeah, but. Yeah, they had a piece of property. Everybody else is selling theirs, okay, and giving to the church. So what are they going to do? Well, okay. Yeah, we better sell ours and give that too, okay. Went and gave it, okay, but they held back a portion of it, okay. So the problem was the lie, okay. And in Peter's explanation to Ananias, he said, "Now, Ananias, when you had that property, was it not yours to do with what you wanted to do?" See, there's the difference. That's the difference between communistic and Christian, okay? He said, you could have done what you wanted to with it. And he says, and even after you sold it, okay, the money was yours to do with as you wanted to. He said, why did you lie? And that's where the problem came in, okay? Even Barnabas, okay, when he went and sold his property, that tells us that they had personal possessions, okay? So they were against. So let's get rid of the idea of the communistic society, the idea that everybody's equal. All right, I just want to get that out in the open to start out with. Okay, so what is God's plan for us in the world today? How do we, since we're not a communistic society, how do we conduct our lives? What is our responsibility? Okay, we got to labor, and you got to work. Okay, why do we do that? Okay, so that we can earn a living. Okay, all right. Now, what's our first priority? Well, yeah, that should always be first. Okay, that's, you're correct. You're correct in that. And then what else? What other responsibilities do we do from what we this monies we earn? You feed your families. Okay, we're taught that. You know, you got to take care of your family. You take care of yourself, your family, even your extended family, maybe uncles, nephews, whatever the case may be, wherever things arise, you take care of those, okay? And then, of course, we take care of our business with the church, okay? That's the spiritual plan that God has for us, okay? Over in Ephesians chapter 4, okay, verse 28, Paul says over there, let the thief who steals, what? Steal no more, but rather working with his hands, okay, so that he can have in order to give to others. Okay, I think if you go back over to the King James Version, it says, let the thief who stole steal no more. And somebody kind of comically said, well, see what it says? It says, let the thief steal no more giving. You change the punctuation in there, and it came out pretty good, but you got to change the punctuation to make it do that. Okay, so that's the idea. Okay, wealth in itself is not a virtue. It is a God-given gift. I'm telling you that God has given some people the gift of making money. You know anybody like that? Some people, everything they touch just turns to gold, you know. I'm not one of them, okay? And one of the reasons why is because God says he gives to each according to his ability, and I don't have that ability, okay? All right. So wealth is not a virtue. Neither is being poor, a sentence or a punishment, okay? Both of them, okay, are equal as far as God is concerned, and both of them have the capability of doing what they need to do in order to get by in this world. The problem comes in when a poor man maybe envies the rich man, and he says, I want some of that, okay? And so that's where the lying and cheating and stealing comes in, and that's where the sin takes place. Okay? So we need to understand what's behind, the attitude of stealing. Why do I do what I do? Okay? God has prospered some people. Okay? Now, when I said I do a study sometimes on the gifts, that God has given to men, and one of those is the idea of making money. Okay? There are people that have that gift, they're able to make money, but when God gives you a gift like that, there is a more of a demand upon you to use those things wisely. Okay? If you use what you have wisely, then God will give you more and more and more. Okay? But if we don't, what happens? He takes those things away. Now, I will say this. It is a burden on a lot of people sometimes to have money. And I'll say this, that I thank God that He didn't give me that responsibility, because I don't think I can handle it. You know, what happens to rich people sometimes? Yeah, trust in those riches, and they're so afraid that somebody's going to try to take it away from them. Okay? Yeah, yeah. And I think maybe the good Lord knew that might be me. You know, so He said, not you. You're not going to get that gift, okay? You're not going to get that gift. You're going to have something else. You know, I taught that class in the Bible class one time. We had an elderly lady in there. She was the sweetest little thing, and she didn't have a penny to her name, really. You know, she just lived off of whatever she can get from Social Security. And she held up her hand, and I said, "Yes, Maureen, what's going on?" She says, "You know, I could try that for one day." You know, I thought that was so cute, because she never had, and she just admired. Well, yeah, you know. But, you know, the good Lord knew that I couldn't handle it, so I ought to thank Him that He didn't give me that gift. Okay. All right. So we think about this world that we live in, though, and we have a world full of people who are corrupted by the idea of possessions and by the idea of money. Okay? And because of that, they will lie, cheat, steal, embezzle, whatever the case may be, to get what they want. Okay? Now the problem with that is if I do that, I'm taking away what belongs to somebody else. Okay? And that is stealing. That's stealing. And that's where the problem comes in. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Excuse me a minute. Yeah. Well, yeah. His responsibility. I'm not against bailing somebody out, but, you know, how did you get there? What caused you to be where you're at, you know? You know, things happen, but, you know, it's just, there's things in this world that are just not right. You know, one of the things that bothers me so much, when I see these advertisements on TV for this debt relief, okay, how did you get in debt? You amassed more than what you should have spent, okay? And so what they're basically saying is, you give us a call and we'll free you from that debt. Well, that's stealing. It's stealing. I'm not saying anything about the credit card companies that are charging all these exorbitant, you know, they're stealing too, okay? So there's guilt on both sides there. So we take advantage of one another along that way. Okay. All right, let's talk a little bit about the biblical ethics of property. All right. There's a story for us over in Matthew chapter, where is it? 25. Chapter 25. Okay. That's the parable about the manager that left town, and he brought his three stewards in and gave them the talents. Which many times we call it the parable of the talents. I believe it's chapter 25. But excuse me. Got to where in the mornings anywhere. I just can't get this frog out of my throat. But anyway, okay. So the idea behind that parable was this owner, this master, this whoever he was, property owner, was going to leave town. He was going to go away for an extended period of time. So he brought these three stewards in. Now, what is a steward? Yeah, someone that's been assigned to take care of the goods of others. Okay, someone whose possession the owner has placed something, put it in their trust. Okay, so he's got three stewards. He gave one 5 talents, one 3 talents, and one talent. Now, what does the end of that sentence say? 5, 3, and 1, according to what? Their ability. Okay. So there we go. See, there's the inequality again. He gave it to them according to their ability. Well, why was it according to their ability? Was it their fault that they weren't able to do it? Or was it God's? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It could have been either. Maybe they were lazy. Maybe they just didn't pay attention in school when arithmetic was being taught. I don't know. That's me. Okay. But whatever the case may be, they had different areas of ability. All right. And we talk about a talent. You know, a lot of times I think they were little gold coins or whatever. A talent was actually probably about, in our today's money, about $1,000, thereabouts. Okay. So he gave one $5,000, one $3,000, and one $1,000. Okay. What happened? Remember the story? What happened? What did the 5-talent guy do? He went out and invested. Okay. He bought and sold for a profit or margin, whatever the case may be. And he earned 5 more talents. What about the 3-talent guy? Same thing, okay? So they each did, according to their ability, what they were capable of doing. Now, what about the 1-talent guy? Yeah, that's because he was the 1-talent guy, wasn't he? He was afraid he was going to lose it. He was afraid to invest it, okay? So he put it away, okay, and hid it. Master comes back, calls in for an accounting, and what's the accounting? 5 gives 5. You gave me 5, and here's 5 more. Well done. Good and faithful servant. 3-talent guy, well done. It didn't matter whether he made, you know, more than this guy did. Well, not actually, did he? He made according to what he was given. You know, that might have been all he could do, but he did it. What happened with the 1-talent guy? Yeah. You wicked and slothful. What does that teach us about what God has given to us? Use what you gave us. Are we stewards today? Absolutely. Listen, everything that you have, everything that you possess, I don't care if it's material possessions, whether it's talent, whatever you have belongs to God, and it's been placed in your hand to use. You are the overseer. You are the steward of what God has given you. Okay? So that's what you have. That is the ethical principle of stewardship and property ownership. That's our idea. That's how it should be. Okay? Now, God says, don't steal. Okay? So that is taking something that belongs to someone else for your own use. Okay? Now, under civil law, we have two ways of considering property. One is that we can own property ourselves. You know, you work, earn some money, buy some property. Okay. And another is that you can hold another person's property in your possession in a trust. Okay. In other words, just like the steward there. You use someone else's property and you return to them, you know, whatever profit or a share of the profits or whatever. And then you both earn money on that. Okay. Now, under divine law, God owns everything, and we are mere stewards of those things. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 21 says, do not lay up for yourselves what? Treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, you know, and thieves break in and steal, but lay up your treasures in heaven. Okay. So that is the principle by which we ought to live. The material possessions are just that. They're material. Okay? They're given to us to help us here on this earth to live our lives. Okay? And if we maintain the right attitude towards those things that God has given us, like the stewardship, then everything is fine. okay? Even with all the inequality or whatever the case may be, you know, everything is fine. We're just like the five talent and the three talent guy, and even the one talent if he had done what he was supposed to do, okay? That's God's plan, okay? We run into problems when people look at other people and say, why do they have this and I don't? We see any of that in the world today? Okay. Why are they blessed and I'm not? Why do they have a nice home and I'm living over here in this shack? Okay. And then we want a piece of that pie. Okay. Well, according to Scripture, if you want a piece of that pie, then how do you get a piece of that pie? You go out and get you a job, and you labor, okay, and you purchase according to what you're able to purchase, okay, and just understand that, you know, if I'm a Ford and Chevy guy, I don't need to be going out and trying to get me a Rolls Royce, okay, because I can't pay for it. So keep my expectations where they ought to be. But he did not say, go and steal the other fellow's Rolls Royce, okay, because that's where the problem comes in. And we see so much of that going on in the world today. People that are out there walking up and down the streets and burning people's businesses down because I'm being mistreated. It's not fair. I should have what you have, and those type of things. And since I can't have it, you can't have it. Okay. And so you know we're getting ourselves in a problem situation today, and we need to be aware of that as to what's going on. All right. Someone read for me 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. I'm sorry, 17 through 19. Someone get there, go ahead and read it. First Timothy 6. Verses 17 through 19. You got it there? Okay. Okay, so that's Paul's instructions to the church through Timothy, okay, of how we should handle our physical possessions in life. Okay, one of the things we see in here is that, and we've talked about, is that that is how the church is supported today. Now, I was kind of shocked to hear a while back that someone came to me and says, "Look, we need to raise a little bit of money. How about if we get the kids to go out and have a car wash, you know, and we can bring those funds into the church." And I had to explain to them, says, that's not how the church operates. And they were shocked. Well, why not? Well, we operate off of free will offerings. We have jobs, we work, and according to our ability, according to how we purpose in our hearts, we give to the church, and that's how the church finances, you know, what it does. And tell you, it takes money to run businesses here. You want to spread the gospel? It takes money. How do you think those missionaries get over there overseas over there? Okay, somebody got to pay the bills over there. Got to pay their traveling expenses. Got to pay for their housing while they're over there. Nobody gives them that. Okay, we here at home, you know, if we want to spread the gospel here in the community, we have to advertise, radio programs, TV programs, brochures, whatever the case may be. If you want to have a campaign, you know, you got to feed the people that come in. There's expenses involved. Okay. That's done by people donating, okay, from what they've earned to the church so that it can be used for that purpose. We don't go out and have garage sales. We don't have bake sales. We don't have a bazaar or whatever the case may be. That's just not the way it's done. And people, it surprised me that they're still shocked by those things, okay? But that's what we do, okay? We support the church with our finances. We also take care of our families, Okay, that's what we read about over there in 1 Timothy. You're responsible for taking care of your family, yourself, your extended family. We also use our finances to relieve a lot of human suffering. Okay, that's from over in Acts chapter 6. We've got things all around us here as a church. We have what we call a benevolent program. We use some of the funds from what we receive to help feed people, to help clothe people. A lot of times different situations arise where somebody needs a hot water heater or something like that that's going out and they can't afford to buy a new one. We step in and help them with a goal in mind, okay, that the church is doing this for you because we love you, okay, and that way it helps us to spread the gospel. Now I'm going to give you one here that you might not like, but also we use our monies that we earn to support the government. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that the lesson behind the fish, the coin in the fish's mouth? Give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what's God's. Okay, the government has to have money to run. Okay, and that's why we pay taxes. Okay, so don't argue when you pay taxes. We can gripe if we pay too much. I mean that's all right, you know. But a lot of times we are overtaxed. But that's things that have to be worked out. But we take care of the government. Okay, now we talk about this idea of always wanting more than what we have. Causes the problems. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau over in Genesis chapter 27? Who were Jacob and Esau? Brothers, twin brothers. Esau was the older. Well, why do we say Jacob and Esau and not Esau and Jacob? Because Jacob cheated Esau out of his birthright. You ever think of it that way? He did. Remember, Esau was the firstborn. That means he got a double share of the inheritance. So he would have got 2/3 of what was coming to them, and Jacob would have got 1/3. Okay. Now, Abraham, Isaac. Somebody got to run through that. That was Isaac. Okay. These patriarchs run together sometimes. Okay. Isaac was a rich man, and 1/3 of anything he would have had would have still made Jacob rich, okay? But he had to have that firstborn status. And so he caught Esau when he came in hunting. He was famished. You know, he cooked that pot of beans, and Esau sold his birthright for a pot of beans. Still tried to get that inheritance, okay? But mama and boy, they kind of connived a little bit and went in when Isaac was blind and, you know, got the blessing. So they basically cheated and stole what belonged to Esau. Okay? So that's where the problems come in. The problems come in when you're not satisfied with what you have and you want to live above your means, okay? And so then you go out, lie, cheat, and steal. Okay? So these are the ways that we can violate God's principle about property ownership and stewardship. Okay, first of all, we take what is not our own. That could be by theft. It could be by embezzlement. It could be by what? You help me out. What else can you do that allows you to take something that's not your own? Some of these things we don't think much about sometimes. Do what?
Time from your employer.
Okay, there you go. Exactly right. Yep. Employer's paying you for a full day's work and you're out there taking extended breaks and talking on your phone. That was one of the biggest problems I had when I was working in the construction industry. Everybody had a cell phone. And when they were supposed to be working, you'd see half the crew out there walking around. You know, and I'd have to tell them, you know, guys, it's not your time. This is your employer's time, you know. And the next thing you know, they're out there, you know. So anyway, you're stealing. You're stealing from your employer when you do that. Vice versa, a lot of times your employer can steal from you, too, by not paying you a proper wage for what you're doing. Think that ever happens in this world? People being underpaid? You bet. You bet it happens all the time. Okay. What about expense reports? If I kind of pad my expense report and put maybe a few things in there, you know, add an extra donut on my expense report or something, is that stealing? Yeah. What about tax returns? There's a lot of ways that we can steal, okay? And a lot of those we don't, they're so common anymore that we don't even think of them as being stealing. What about things like not paying the debt that I owe? Okay, we talked about the credit cards a while ago. I won't mention one that I get in trouble sometimes when I mention it, but I'm going to mention it anyway. What about gambling? Am I stealing when I'm gambling? I'm going to let you think about that. Okay. Where did you get that money? How did you get it? Just let that mull over. And I would not advocate anybody do that, but as far as gambling. But that's a source of stealing. Okay. Here's another way that we can steal. Okay. We fail to give a value for money or labor, that should be given. The Jews were very notorious for using two sets of scales. They would use a heavy weight and a lighter weight, one for buying and one for selling. Now, what were they doing? Yeah, they were deceiving people. Did you ever hear the old story about the butcher? The lady come in to buy a chicken, had some family coming over. Did you ever tell you that one? She had a family coming over and she wasn't prepared, and she rushed down to the butcher shop to buy chicken so she could feed them. And he looked under there and he only had one old scrawny looking chicken down there, you know. And he flopped it up there on the scale, you know, and she looked at it and she said, "Oh, no, that's not big enough. That'll never do. What else you got?" And he only had the one, so he put it underneath there and he rumbled around a little bit, throwed it back on the scale and put his thumb on there and pushed it down, you know. And she says, "That's great. I'll take them both." She wanted both those chickens. Now what's he going to do? See, he was trying to cheat that lady, and that's what those Jews were doing at that time. They were using the two sets of weight. Well, that goes back to the idea of employer-employee. It goes back to all these concepts that we need to give people what they pay for. They pay for a day's work, give them a day's work. If they purchase something, you know, give them what, you know, they purchase. We see a lot of times, especially down on the coast when they had hurricanes and things like that, prices on certain things like plywood and bread and water would go, okay? And the government had to step in and say, "You can't do that," okay? And we're fining people, but we take advantage of people when we do that. We can go on and on and on. Things like cheating on exams for students, you know. Well, how is that stealing? How is that stealing? Well, it's not your knowledge. You didn't have the facts. You got them from somebody else. You know, writing on your hand and, you know, those things like that. We're basically stealing. We'd like to say, "Well, we're cheating." Well, you're cheating too, but you're stealing. Okay. Real quickly, just we're out of time here. I want to talk about the idea of stealing from God, okay? And I don't have time to go over this right now. We'll go over to Malachi chapter 8 and read that passage over there. There's a passage in there that says, "Will a man rob God?" And he says, "Well, you're doing it." And how are you doing it? By not bringing your tithes into the storehouse. Now, in the Old Testament, people who were caught stealing, they had to repay, if they were caught, repay what they had stole plus an added 20%. Remember over in Luke chapter 6, the story of Zacchaeus? At the end of that story, Zacchaeus says, "God, if I've stolen anything from anybody, I'm going to repay them fourfold," or whatever. You know, he knew those laws. What would happen today? This is just something to think about. What would happen today if we passed a law that said everybody caught stealing is going to have to not only pay back what they stole, but they're going to have to pay back an extra 20%? You're not going to jail for 5 years. You're going to get a job, okay? And you can keep what you need to pay for your expenses, but you're going to pay back 20% of what you stole until that's all paid back. What would happen in this world? There's a lot of people that are not afraid of going to jail today. There's a lot of people that spend their lives in jail because they're not afraid of it. Okay, but what would happen if they had to do something like that? Yeah, just something to think about. Just something to think about. We're going to have to quit. We're out of time. Appreciate everybody's time. There's a lot of other things we could talk about here. All of these commandments, there's a lot of things that we can talk about that we just don't have time to talk about. But stealing, there's more than one way to steal. It's more than just taking someone's money. It's more than just taking someone's property. Okay, we can steal someone's time. We can steal their goods. There's all kinds of things that we can do. So just think about the idea of thou shalt not steal, how that applies to my life. Okay? Anybody have comments, questions? I'm sorry I ramble so much here, but I haven't taught in 6 months. So. Okay. Appreciate everybody's time and your attention.